Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Willard from Willard and Dibs coming up 2 to 6. In fact, crossover coming up at 1:45. Now back to Steiny and Goo and Steiny. Crossover, 1:45. Will you just stay?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I am envious of our partner, man, because if people in the know, if you don't know, I'll tell you, they own some property in Canada. It's like an island, and you got to take a boat to the corner store to, like, little canoe. Evan, he showed me some pictures. I'm like, and then he goes, you guys could use it if you ever need it, you know, the place, but the compound. But, man, that's peaceful, man. I grew up in the woods. I've deer hunted. I've camped. I know what it's like when you're just out there and it's you, your family, or you're by yourself just on a bump, log, just watching deer run by, squirrels, the fresh, crisp, natural air, no traffic. It's beautiful. Go take a dip if you need to, because there's water. I didn't pass it down to my kids. We never went camping. Damn. Well, that's terrible, man.
Regret. You got to pass it on. You know why I think that he said we can go anytime?
He did say it.
Is because he knows that we won't be able to figure out how to get there.
He's a man. You can film a movie where he's at X-Men and something.
He's described to us how to get to this so-called island of his, which is somewhere in Canada. And I got to tell you.
We tried to figure it out.
We'd have to Lewis and Clark that thing.
You look at imbecile.
Yeah, we are. When it comes to navigation.
Steiner.
If you can't find it on Google Maps, I ain't going. That place is off the beaten path. All right, Goo. Talked about the San Francisco 49ers and what's been going on with them. I do want to transition to the Warriors now because we finally got a team.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Warriors, Freudian slip, made their moves. They got Brandon Williams. They got George Niang. And they now have a team.
Yay!
So, I want to read the finalized roster.
Go Warriors! sorry.
I do want to read the finalized roster for you, and I want to get your thoughts, okay? Guard position, Steph, Pods, Melton, Brandon Williams, Will Richard. Our forwards, Draymond Green, Yaxel Lendeborg, Guy Santos, George Niang, Gary Payton II, and then, of course, Jimmy Butler, and Moses Moody. Your centers are Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, and Charles Bassey, with a couple of two-way guys being LJ Cryer and LeJay Jones. So, how you feeling? Warriors made a couple moves. No longer incognito this summer.
Well, you mentioned the Niners, and I'm going to use a word that we've been talking about, a two-letter word, and is if. And what we do know is a big portion of that roster that you just went over won't start the season in regard to Jimmy Butler and Moses Moody. So they'll be missed. But if guys not named Moody or Butler can stay healthy, I'm here for it, but I'm definitely not going to sit here and tell you, Evan, sit across from you and the listeners, that this is enough to be a beast in the West. And my question marks still revolve around, I know we got the 29th coming up in regard to Steph Curry's contract extension and possibility, but that runner's knee, Porzingis, you know, whatever he's dealing with, but we know he's dealing with something that can flare up at any time. And I do like Brandon Williams. And to find out Steph, I think he FaceTimed him. He went Mike Dunleavy and got it done and tried to recruit Brandon Williams. But the Niang, he didn't even play a minute last year, Evan.
No, he was hurt. But other than that, he's pretty durable.
Yeah, and he's in his 30s. So, again, okay. But that's not going to make or break. I'm here for it, Evan, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm excited, especially about what I started, who's not starting the season. But if you give me health and Porzingis, who loves Celebrini and can keep him upright. And Al Horford's Al Horford. Melton, we're small. I'd like a lot more, you know, action at wing. But it's what you said about Stribling, and I keep bringing up the Niner comp. I'm so excited about Yaxel that I'm kind of blinded at what this team could be if they got healthy or stayed healthy before Jimmy Butler were to come back. But am I excited to tell you, E, they're going to be something more than just a play-in? I'm not seeing it right now because of Jimmy and Moody's absence.
No, but I think they'll be better than they were last year. You know, the guys they got, Williams played 66 games. I know that Niang was out for last season, but he's typically pretty durable. 2025, 70 games, year before, 82, 78, 76, 72. So he plays a lot. I think they're better equipped to handle what happened at the end of last year when the bottom completely fell out. I'm not going to tell you that they're a top six seed by any means, but I saw a projection on, I think it was ESPN, of what they are. And to be fair, this was before they signed Williams and Niang, but it was...
Probably didn't change, but go ahead.
No, it was 37 and 45.
Oh, no.
They'll be better than that. They'll be better than that. They're just not going to be what people have expected for the better part of a decade, which is them to be in contention. At least not right now. I think they have a chance to exceed expectations based on where they were last year.
Now, what Steph Curry do we get? Or is that like...
Well, that I don't know.
That's an if for you, too.
Well, he's got 3 days between now and the...
That's wow.
...contract extension date to... not. I don't want to say make a choice, because it could linger. Hell, he could wait till the season.
Yeah.
He could wait as much time as possible.
That's interesting, Evan. I'll tell you this. Hey, I got my popcorn ready, and... I'll give it the old college try in regard to do what I do. I'll root for them, go to games. But I'd be lying if I'm looking you dead in the face right now and not telling you for the first time in my life I've got stymied in regard to I'm almost fast-forwarding to next offseason to where the books are clear, they got money, and then it really, really could pop off. But I won't rob this team. Hey, who's to say they don't do their – what the Niners did in their 12 wins, right? In their season that we thought was going to go down the drain. Maybe this is the Warriors. Hold my beer. We're going to show you, goo. Like, Evan, is there any part of you thinking, and I'm giving them all over, that this couldn't be a play-in team? Like, could they be a higher seed to avoid the play-in? That I just find, without Butler and Moody, that's where I'm just like, okay, so we're going to end up where we always end up, in the play-in.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility, but I think there's a big difference between being in the 7-8 game and being in the 9-10 game. If you're a 9-10...
We've been in both, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a 9-10, to me, it's virtually impossible to do anything because the best spot you can get is the 8. And you're not beating the top seed, especially after... You saw, like, if the Warriors had somehow beat the Suns in April and gone on to play OKC, they probably would have got absolutely killed in game one. And who knows if they would have won a game.
I wanted to see it, though.
Why would you want to see it?
Just to see how truly far off we are with the elite. You know, and when I say elite,
that sounds like sports masochism.
I kind of didn't disagree, but yeah, something to there. That's where, like, at least let me see.
But you also wouldn't have got Yaxel Lendeborg. Yeah, you would have got a worse pick.
No, you're right.
I mean, and he's part of this, too. It's funny. So we started the show talking about Stribling. And by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and 82.1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. You know, Yaxel and Stribling, I think, are in similar spots where their teams are going to need them. And I think Lendeborg is in a better position to put up numbers, but Stribling is in a better position to impact winning early on.
Well said.
But they're both equally exciting in their own right. Yaxel's a big reason why I think that this, and by the way, hey, thank you, this is this from the YouTube chat, I think it was Valks, that said the prediction was 35 and 47. Yaxel Lendeborg is a big reason, and Williams and Niang to some extent, but mainly Yaxel. He's a big reason why I don't think 35 wins is...
on the table. Like,
no.
They're blowing past that.
Why can't they be a 500 team? Which, by the way, no one, that doesn't excite people, but that's 7 wins more than what some are expecting them to do.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty big change.
Yeah, no doubt. And I got to give you this, E, and it's probably in your calculations. the fact that Curry didn't play damn near 40 games, that's a big deal, man. To go to surpass that win total, the 37.
Well, but that's why, okay.
I mean, that math is simple. If he holds up and he doesn't miss, that's half the season.
Yeah, but Violent Under, who cares? If Curry misses the same amount of games, which is, by the way, on the table because he's older.
Well, then, yeah.
No, but Brandon Williams is a player that at times started for the Mavericks last year, averaged 13 points in 22 minutes. He's somebody that scored 30 against the Warriors. Maybe he's 29, but...
See, I don't see us winning games. It'll look better than last year at times. We look like a G League outfit when those injuries start to pile up. And I love me some Williams. I do. But, Ev, I still feel like in the West, yeah, we give teams a better run for their money. But at the end, we wouldn't win as much as we would, obviously, with Steph.
My biggest problem with last year's team was they built a team for 16 games. They built a team for a 7-game series, and they, I believe, were relying too much on their older players to make it through the regular season before they even got to the playoffs.
Outside of Yaxa, what's changed?
Well, you replaced a couple of guys with younger players. Like, Brandon Williams is a guy who can play a lot. And Santos is going to be better this year. You know, you're looking at guys that are I think the Warriors are better equipped to handle the regular season this year going in than last season. I think last season they put too much faith in all of these guys being able to just remain healthy, you know, and I think that problem still exists. It's not completely gone is what I'm telling you. Like two signings don't change that. But I guess I wonder, Goo, if there was excitement at the start of last season, is it just because of the final record that you're left here 365 days later and you don't feel even close to the same way?
It's some of that, but it's also the chef. And when he's not there, it's like Michael Jackson not being on stage with the Jacksons. They're pretty much nothing, you know, talent, but not what you are when Michael puts you over the top. So I think a lot of that and a lot of trepidation I have is because that is a question that in years past, Evan, I could just pencil Steph down for 60, 65 games, you know. But now I am so frightened on what happens if that were to repeat itself with the runner's knee. And again, I could be totally wrong, but when you talk about getting excited, it's mental prep. And I just can't allow myself to prep for this Warriors season and lie to myself and not say that the possibility is real that something could happen to Steph with that knee to where we'd be without. And then once that were to happen, yeah, you're right. You have got Brandon Williams who could play a lot, create his own shot. Not the biggest guy. Yeah, we'll be better. I guess, is it Operation Stay Afloat till Jimmy gets back? Even, like, would you have a problem if I said that's what the mantra is for me with the Warriors this season? Stay afloat until Jimmy can come back.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. And then you hope that he and if Moody returns, that they can give you the same juice or a similar sort of juice to what Jimmy did when he got here in the first place. Because that team was below 500.
Yeah. And would that be unfair that Jimmy's coming off an injury to expect Jimmy type things when he came back? Or with this new science, Kittle coming back, you know, just months after tearing this, like, would you think that's fair or no? Goo, he's got a jersey. He's Jimmy Butler. He'll come out and ball, and hopefully he'll mirror himself.
Well, they won 47 games the year that Butler got here, and I don't think they'll win 47 games.
And knocked off Houston.
Yeah, I mean, they won a playoff series. But I can't even think about this team being in the playoffs. That's another,
yeah, all right.
That's another thing that last year became apparent, is that you can no longer just fast forward, and I don't know why people are doing it in the first place, but you can't just fast forward to the NBA playoffs with this team anymore.
I've learned my lesson on that.
You got to care about the regular season.
All right.
And I think they're trying to find, you know, the middle ground in this, right? Where if Steph is in the playoffs, if, you know, Porzingis and Jimmy and Draymond to some extent, like, that's where maybe the Warriors can surprise somebody. But they have to care about the 82. Like, they don't have the luxury of just overlooking 6 months and saying, yeah, well, it's okay. We'll stay afloat. We'll just sneak in as a 7 seed.
Man.
That to me would be malpractice.
Now, and I love that. We've been talking about windows being open, shut, stuck. But in regard, let's put it right on the table, brought to you by Echo Pest Control, Evan, our first one of the day. In regard to the Warriors being championship contenders with what they're facing with their roster now, who's available, who's not, where's that window in Evan Giddings' prism?
Well, what's the window?
Championship or getting to the finals.
I don't think they're getting the finals, Goo.
I think it's shut.
Yeah, I don't think they can win a championship.
Yeah. And I wonder if they know that. Maybe that's why they didn't do too much. Or they tried and didn't come up with anything. And, you know, now you got Williams and Niang.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors roster was effectively finalized yesterday. They signed Brandon Williams and George Niang. So the Warriors got their 15 guys. You know, Curry, Pods, Melton, Williams, Richard, Draymond, Butler, Lendeborg, Moody, Santos, Niang, Payton, Porzingis, Horford, Bassey. Does the fact that they complete their summer have people feeling any different? Like, what was the feeling at the end of last summer? I mean, we're discussing Kuminga every single day and his contract, but I mean, what was the feeling for Golden State?
And I love that you brought that up. And we had Aaron Turner, Kuminga's agent on, remember that during the summer and watching him work out and he got his deal, but I still was blinded and naivete to the fact that Kuminga was going to bust out and be the Minnesota version when they played Minnesota in the playoffs that season. So I don't have that at my disposal to get excited about. I'm not necessarily, I know I'm not about Niang. I do like I like him. I've always liked him. So we'll see. But just the fact that we're asking Steph to carry us on that knee, that runner's knee, you know, I don't feel good about that, and I guess that's why I'm skeptical, man. Like, who's calling, and I'm not saying they're not, right now, who's saying, you know, watch out for the Warriors?
Well, nobody is, but I think that's why they can exceed those expectations.
Right.
You know, I don't think people expect anything out of the Warriors this year, do you?
No.
So they can exceed that.
Yeah, I kind of likened it. Could they pull... I know it's different sports. A 12-win season off like the Niners did when we kind of counted them out in season with all the injuries.
Well, but see, all right, this is the difference. I think the Warriors can be better than what people are making them out to be. But you're leaping to them winning a playoff series. That's where I stop.
Well, no, I said Operation Play-In, and somebody's coming down my road, my boy B. Pena. Come on, Goo, it ain't that bad. Okay, I'm here for it, but I know we don't have Jimmy and Moody. I know we made additions. I like to see Steph and that knee. But other than that, I just feel like this team, we're destined to get to the play-in.
Yeah, but you can still get into the play. Like, to me, it's about getting to the playoffs. And if it's through the play-in, then that's fine. Right. You've seen them win playoff series from the 7th seed. You haven't seen them win championships, and that's where I think we got to just – leave that at the door. Mm. We talking titles and championships, hell,
that's on hold for me.
Well, Steph Curry said we got to recalibrate our thought process. Right, we can't be talking championships right now until there's something to tangibly look at and at least see that they're a decent squad.
Yeah, and there's some fallout from my 90-win prediction with the Giants to where I've kind of learned my lesson. And I want to do something different this year in regard to my Warrior optimism. And now I'm just saying, hey, you know, the play-in, and maybe that'll mean the second round, you know, they get to the Western Conference. A reverse devil tongue. That's all I got. So, B. Pena, leave me alone. Like, every year, I'm the pinata of optimism, and it's taking something out your boy. So now I'm just like, hey, What if they should? You got some names, some champs, Horford, Porzingis, Curry, Dre. And if you're telling me we get a healthy Melton and Potts takes another step, and now we got Yaxel, who's to say? And let's another rat on the table brought to you by Echo Pest Control. If you want it on said night in the NBA, Evan, more than the other team, I don't think that plays well in the NFL. You can do a good team could give you a C-plus effort and still win the game by 2 touchdowns or 10 points. Who's to say if the Warriors want it more in the regular season on said night that they can't go get it?
I think there's going to be a talent gap on some nights, but you're right. Look, and maybe the schedule works out for them the way it did a couple of years ago when they took advantage of a soft schedule down the stretch and streaked to the 7 seed. You know, it's just like
we needed that.
But being a play-in team doesn't mean you can't be a playoff team. I mean, the top six is going to be is difficult for them. I just think that, again, seeing the roster as it stands today and with it being effectively finalized, it's like, okay, Yaxel Lendeborg has a chance to impact winning his rookie season. He looks like, right now, a good pick.
Right, like Stripling.
You got a couple players in here that are typically healthy and play a lot of games. Those are three obvious differences from last year's team when they came in. And that to me is why your optimism, it doesn't have to be conference finals or finals or championship. I think that's what we need to look at.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
I want to do an exercise with you.
But it's like that's almost not good enough. Like them making the playoffs is not good enough.
No, how? Like, I'll fight against that or tell whoever's thinking that way, call me, come see me, Union City, Queen Anne Drive, come see me, because who are you to think like that? We didn't make the playoffs. So who are we to say it's not good enough? And that's why I'm saying the play-in, Operation Play-In, I'll take, Evan, predicated on we use that as a bridge to get into the playoffs. But that's me growing up and being realistic. I was just going to ask you right now, I'm going to go over some name teams in the West, and you just say yay or nay if you think the Warriors are better than them. The Thunder.
Nay.
The Spurs.
Nay.
Shout out nay. The Nuggets.
Hilario. Or was it Hilario?
Hilario
Nene.
I liked him. The Lakers.
Nay.
The Rockets.
Nay.
The Timberwolves.
Nay.
Now I'm going to pause the exercise and go to the bottom five of the West, teams that the Warriors finished ahead of, and we're going to use that batch for me to say, is there anybody in that batch that you might say have surpassed us? The Kings?
No.
The Jazz?
The Jazz will be better. The Jazz will be better. I don't think they'll pass the Warriors.
Okay, Memphis?
No.
Dallas?
No.
I feel like there's a possibility there. And the Pelicans?
No, although you seem to really like Mathurin, who just signed with them today.
I don't know what, but maybe I can't make a GM. Dude, he was a bucket in Indiana. I like what he did against the Clippers.
Volume now, shooter who doesn't pass.
And can guard a little bit. Had he been our Niang, I would be like, Evan, we got something. But he cost a little more than Niang, too.
Well, he's only he's not making a lot of money. I mean,
2 for 16.
I think it might have been 18. But the point is, he wanted 25 or 30. You know,
getting that.
No, but that is interesting, though, because I think that if the Warriors are negotiating with someone like Brandon Pajewski, that impacts his market price.
No, that's, wow.
You know, Mathurin is a much different player than Pods is, but
I like him.
Pods ain't getting $20 million. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Also, on the other side, there was a list put out today written by Monty Poole about some of the transactions. I know it feels like we might be coming down the Warriors road, so I want to use it. The first five, the best transactions under the Lacob and Goober regime. Some of these, I want to see if we can guess, and then we're going to make our guesses for the final five to wrap up the show. And then, of course, we got the crossover with Willard and Dibs coming up at 1:45. All that ahead on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 is the number. Get in for Steinmetz with Guru. We're back after this on Stein and Guru.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, one more segment left until the crossover.
I think you know Willard well good? Today. You know what, you cool? Don't need me to do anything, do you?
I don't care.
Okay, I'm playing. That was fun.
No, he'll come in and tell me where, you know, where I was right and where I was wrong.
That's the best. Wheel.
That's all right, Willard. You know what, actually, that made me feel like Steiny yesterday.
Oh, no, you were
that is what made me feel like Steinmetz.
Yeah, that was great.
Willard
yeah.
walks in. I was listening to the show earlier, and, you know, here's what you said. Boom, 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 boom. This one, I'm with you, kind of. This is where you were wrong. You were wrong. You were wronger, and you were wrong-est.
Oh, yeah, he was 0-6. He had nothing on the list. You had six things.
Yeah, it wasn't a good day.
And
yeah.
You know, doing radio, you didn't ask as long as I have. You learn something about yourself, man.
I would hope so. It's been like 10 years.
And I'm telling you, I have mastered and passed this down to my children. Don't let the haters get to you. Especially if you don't have any haters, you're doing something wrong. I got to me. But I love the hate. Like, I don't like the nice stuff. I like the hate stuff. But it led me to think last night, and I'm being real because we've talked about this. Evan, I'm really into, I don't think Reggie Jackson, I don't think Magic Johnson, guys in that era, it would be more difficult to play in today's world with social media and so much written about you and your performance, E, that it's real. And I'm not calling anybody soft, but I just think about that era where it was just a local newspaper and somebody wrote something about you. I could catch Evan in the hallway, and that's it. Evan, this thing is so powerful on all, outfits of life. It can get to you. And I wonder how many athletes, and I'm not judging them if it's gotten to them. Everybody's Durant, and everybody's got some Durant in them, if you say you're not. But it just got me to thinking, this is probably the hardest it's been to be a performer in any type of outfit in our society today. It doesn't go away. It just grows, E. But if you got the mechanism to, I ain't looking at that stuff because it could tell me I can't act or I can't hit or pitch or hit or tackle. But E, if you want to find out, and you never know what's real or not, it's hard, son.
So I'm not in Rikers, but I might be on an island about this.
I'll give you a three.
I just think it's different. I don't think it's any worse or any better.
Ooh.
I think it's different. The pressure on athletes nowadays comes from the phone or the web.
Or the TV.
Or the television. Yeah. But people used to crush athletes. I mean, the stuff that people would write, like media members nowadays, we're talking on the radio.
Gotcha.
I can remember growing up just reading a few articles about how guys were bad human beings and, you know, the steroid scandal, gambling, being involved in...
No, you're on fire.
Like, all of that was in paper and people would talk about it, so it's not on the internet. But they would still say terrible things.
No doubt.
You bring this up all the time. Bill Russell had people that wrecked his room and threw...
Went number two on his bed. Yeah.
On his bed. And there were people who would throw blood on athletes' houses. There were people that would, accost their loved ones in the street. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong that the internet is good or bad. But to me, it is a lot different.
All I can say to that is wow. But what if I told you what it sounds like you just described to me, and you're right. But Evan, I'm just talking about now with everybody on their phone. People can front and act like you're not on your phone. You got kids. It's your best friend now. And the days and the era that you're mentioning, those things happen, continue to happen. But Evan, there was just an X date, I believe, on it. You read the paper, you put the paper down. Now you got all these shows. You got all, like it's a 24/7. It used to go to sleep. the hate. I'll just call it the hate. Now the hate just grows. And I'm not saying anybody's, even Durant. But Evan, you can't tell me you wouldn't be up at night like, man, I had a bad performance. Let me just, like, it just continues to grow. And I just wonder, and we'll never really know, right, how much it really affects players or athletes game in, game out that we don't know. We've heard Curry told us, Steph Curry, at halftime, Draymond said would get on the phone just to see what they're saying on Twitter. And he's Superman, so he could kind of, you know, let me put my cape on, I'm going to shake it or do whatever if he had a bad half. But my point is, Evan, it's human nature for athletes to care. But now I'm just talking about everybody that is a performance-based. I mean, it's there for you. You can have the power and your prerogative to kind of, I'm going to go away from it. But E, my point is, it's just growing and it doesn't sleep.
No, but that's why, again, I find it to be different pressure. You know, and you're right, like,
different pressure.
I think people just nonchalantly say, hey, why would you look at that stuff? You know, why would you read bad things?
Right.
But you're right that it's totally human for you to hear a criticism of you and that to stick with you. You know, that's who I am. Like, whenever I get praise, it goes through one ear and out the other. But whenever someone says anything rude about me, that's when I'm like, no, maybe there's, maybe, and it's because I wonder if they're right. Not because I don't. Not because they're being mean
right now. I love it.
No, I don't mind people being mean. Is what hits you is when you wonder if they're right about you. Like, that's what sticks with
me. That's deep.
I think that's always been there, and I think that always will be there. Whether it's someone who's got an egg-shaped icon who's talking to you on X, whether it's one of our lovely members of our text line or YouTube chat.
Yeah. I got a lot of right.
Yeah, but I think athletes dealt with that in sometimes harsher ways. It's just me. I think now there's more of a consistent feed, if you will, of criticism, whether it's constructive or not. But the idea that athletes back in the day had it easier, again, I don't know. Wow. I wasn't there. You dealt with it more than I did, so I defer to you. But there still was a lot of pressure to perform. I was watching this documentary about Jesse Owens and the Berlin Olympics that he had to race in. And the pressure on him, not just to perform in front of the Führer,
oof,
Hitler, because of what he was represented to his skin, but he represented America. And that, to me, is a pressure that if there was social media, if there were talking heads or pundits or shows, that pressure was still going to be there. And it was pressure that made things unbelievably difficult for him. And his anxiety, he talked about, he couldn't sleep. He had cold sweats. Hell, I believe it was, who's my guy? Roger Maris. When Roger Maris was chasing Babe Ruth's home run record, his hair fell out. And he was on the same, and Yankees, because Yankees fans, the fan of the team that he played for, didn't want him to break the record. They wanted Mickey Mantle to break the record.
That's incredible.
He was hearing about it in the streets. He was hearing about it in papers. You know, it's. I'm not comparing the two between Jesse Owens and Roger Maris, but I'm saying
I get it.
There's pressure no matter what era of sports you compete in.
That was elegant. That was well said, E, and it hit me like, man, my man's hair fell out, and some people on his team, you know, didn't want him to break the record. Just think about that. I guess all I'm saying to you is everything that you're talking about, you would think you were the older one here, is so real. But I guess what I'm saying, Evan, is now this vessel of social media, I think, multiplies what you, the natural, and it being there times a million. And I know we're a sports station, but I'll just talk about, like, Siskel and Ebert, you know, the actors. Back in the day, what, you had a column once a week and somebody would write about your movie and your review, and those were the guys, Shaq and Kobe, Siskel and Ebert. But now, Evan, this thing, if you're an actor, a producer, whatever, and you want to just get a critique, it doesn't die. It just grows. And I guess it's all on the individual on how much you let that stuff bother you.
Yeah.
But to hear Jesse Owens had anxiety, I didn't know that. Like, I don't know why I'm shocked, but now I'm wondering if this were around, how much that anxiety would have, you know, helped hurt his performance.
It might sound weird, but I think it would be normalized. Like, we have phones now. So you've become conditioned to this idea that everyone's going to talk about you. All right, Guru gives a take today. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to say you're crazy. Some people are going to say mean things. Some people are going to say nice things. So you've been conditioned over time to expect a lot of feedback. Well, you meant, what, Cisco and Ebert? Yeah. The one column a week?
Yes.
Well, they were conditioned to when that column came out, it was appointment reading to find out what people think about you. And that might dictate your week or your day.
I love it. But what if, let me just interject here. But there wasn't a continuance of, and you're right. If you were the subject matter and it wasn't a good one, it follows you all week. But what if there was something new to your bad performance every day of the week? And that's what, like, cycle we're in. And I'm not, like, and I don't see it changing anytime soon, but I'm just thinking of these young high schoolers, even the ones before them. Well, what we're doing now just in our world, it is so easy, and I hope I'm not coming off soft here, it is so easy to try to get in someone's head. And you talk about, okay, hey, Guru, they clipped you and they put you on social media. Evan, what if I told you this part? Some people hate Goo, and no matter what I say, I got a cure for cancer, they're going to hate the take just because they hate me already. But that gives, you know what I'm saying? So you can't win in a sense.
Yeah, but I think that's a tale as old as time. I mean, there are people you went to middle school with you just didn't like. And they grow up and they're probably way different than they are when they were, 12 years old. You still don't like them, you know, but that's your choice. I mean, you can choose to evolve and appreciate how they've matured as individuals, or you can just say, yeah, Tommy from eighth grade was a D.
Yeah,
that guy freaking sucked.
And I think Reggie Jackson, if I went up to him, Mr. Jackson, this you guys had it easy. He probably would want to rip me a new one.
Yeah, probably. Well, he called me Eric.
That was great.
No, that was... I actually found that quite endearing.
No, he was feeling you.
Yeah, the one time I got to talk to Reggie Jackson.
So a nothing burger-y with just the social media, or would you say, go, I can see where you're putting down.
No, I totally understand it. I'm not disagreeing with you as much as I just think it's a different kind of pressure. To me, it's like comparing athletes from different eras. So all the time. All right, you say...
And I hate it. I swear I do.
Well, you do it all the time.
No, I like comps.
Who's in your top five?
It's Kobe.
Yeah.
And again, my top five is predicated on who my eyes saw in person. You have a problem with that premise?
No.
Like, I want to say Kobe.
Yeah.
Shaq.
Number four.
Jordan.
Number three.
That's three. Who is my fourth?
Curry.
Steph.
Number
two. Thank you, Evan. You know your boy.
Wilt.
No, and I had Hakeem.
Well, a couple of those guys are from different eras.
No, yeah, but hold on.
No, whoever's in your top five, that's not the point.
Yeah.
Your top five is great.
Yeah.
I'm saying that some of those players are from different eras, and it's hard to compare what Steph did to what Olajuwon did to what Elgin Baylor did to what George Mikan did.
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah, and that's why I always say Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, forget, Hakeem had more of a bag than him and other centers, was the most unstoppable force I've ever seen on a basketball court, because I didn't see Wilt or, you know, other guys. But Shaquille O'Neal, for me, Evan, I saw, it was like a monster on the court that couldn't be stopped. And they had to come up with Hack a Shaq. So I know you're like, well, okay, thanks. You like Shaq. But Evan, I just think this phone or this thing we call social media is bigger than just sports, but the critique is there all the time. What you laughing at?
No, our guy Brendan in the chat said, what the hell is, what is Hakeem going to do with Shaq?
Like, dude, it's real.
Well,
Shaq,
he did do something against him.
It was almost 300, but it was muscle, man.
They beat
man.
Him in the finals. He didn't beat evolved Shaq. He beat young Shaq.
But he swept him.
But you get
what I'm putting down.
Yeah, I do, kind of. From the 310.
Yeah.
Guru talks about how he's fueled by the haters, then turns around and says he wouldn't be able to handle all the haters. So which one is it?
No, I don't remember saying I'm fueled by the haters and couldn't handle the haters. I've mastered the haters.
You were telling people their tears are your PEDs, basically.
Then give it to me again.
Their tears, the haters, their tears are
no,
your
I love
anabolic steroids.
No, I said the haters are my food now. Like, I want the next. I said that. I want the Kenny. Like I told my kids, never let nobody control how your day's going to go when I drop out of school. And I mean that. So nobody will ever get in my mind to where I'm going to be flummoxed and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be bad. That's on me. But Evan, there are some guys and gals we don't know in all sectors of life to where their job is based on performance, to where social media is a detriment if you allow it to be.
Well, that's why I give credit to people who put it past them more than
Durant?
I take credit away.
Do you respect? I kind of respect Durant now more because he tells us what he's doing, but then he goes out and balls.
Yeah, Durant doesn't really get a whole lot of respect from me. You know who does? Steph Curry. Because Steph lives in an era of social media.
I hear everything.
Yeah, he does, but he doesn't respond to it.
That's the difference to me.
Okay, so someone who lives in an era where media coverage impacts everybody. And again, I love that.
What an umbrella.
You go back to the 1970s and maybe it's the newspaper or the radio, whatever is the medium that you consume back in your day. Okay, so every athlete has to live with that coverage. The ones that adjust to it and don't let it get to them are the ones that I give more respect to. It's not that I take away respect from other people.
That's real.
But Steph Curry lives in a cell phone, social media driven generation
of
sports.
And he'll check at halftime what they're saying. He's admitted that.
He's admitted to that.
Okay.
But he doesn't let it affect him.
Right.
Or at least not that we can tell.
But he's so gifted.
That's why he gets credit.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's could we call that a personal skill, a mental skill where Durant might let it affect him?
Well, LeBron and Draymond and other people don't have that.
Yeah, and it gets to them, but they're human. And our girl Estimated Eyes, I don't know if she's saying it because I'm getting some love, E, and it ain't love because I'm stating the obvious, too.
Or you just interpret it as love.
No doubt.
Sure.
But she says, Goo, we've almost forgotten how to live without social media. And she's right.
Well, that's a fact. Yeah,
so
that is a fact.
So I love that you admit that, man, because it's like my new TV or news.
But again, you've been conditioned to it because you've lived long enough that you have lived without cell phones.
That part.
You're still on social media more than, maybe not all your friends, but more than a lot of people I know. You know, it's the same way. All right,
I would like to see that listed metric. Well, damn, but anyway, I get what you're saying.
No, but that's you've adapted in your way. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying it's like, okay, so I can be a young person. I have one of my best friends. I was in his wedding a couple years ago. He's from college. He doesn't do social media. He doesn't have LinkedIn. He doesn't have Instagram.
Seriously.
He doesn't have Facebook.
Nothing.
His wife posts all the stuff about their kids and their family. So I find out by following her, but I don't hear from him unless it's in our group chat and he's texting me his immaculate grid scores. Like, I don't know what this guy does in his life.
Like, I want to meet him because that's what I guess. But
well,
Evan,
he's pretty boring.
Evan, but see, I look at social media like it's for sports, one, and then the entertainment, two. But then I know you're not going to believe this. When I see guys in the media get into it that we know or whatever, I know you think, oh, let me go get some cheese and crackers and I'm going to watch Evan and Kenny fight. I kind of tune out now. Like, I'm not in it for that part of it. I like that's my news, and that's where the reporters are dropping their news first now. But it is just interesting of maybe I need to take a page of what Estimated Eye said. Evan, I got to tell you a story. I'm all over. This was Saturday.
That's why we love you.
Me and I were running late. She was driving. Oh, it was to the game. It was to the game. To the night game. Sunday night, Rockland.
Sunday
to
night.
My league game.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Okay, but
your
we were
exhibition.
Late.
Exhibition.
Okay, exhibition. But we were late.
Yeah.
We got to the light, and I didn't have my phone, and the 1980s Daryl wanted to say, it'll be there when I get back. I didn't yell, turn this thing around, because I needed the phone. I got there on time. But she couldn't believe that I couldn't go without the unit. Like Evan, I said, I'll get out the car. I need my phone. Busted a UE, got the phone, got back in the car. And she kind of just gave me a look of like, you're in the system. An addict. So, I needed the phone, E.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, the first thing I do every single day is wake up and it doesn't have to be Instagram, but it'll be something. I just tap it. All right, let me ask you this, though.
I'm sorry. I know TMI.
No, so it sounds like in order to get your cell phone, as you were headed to a basketball game, pick up league,
yeah, hour,
league
hour
game,
and a half, I'll be okay. back in two.
You would be willing to turn around and show up in the second quarter of that game just to get your cell phone.
Now you're being dramatic. You're doing too much. Had I known it would have been, or there was a possibility.
People are tweeting
quarter.
About you in this game,
no,
dude.
No, E, but what does that say? I needed it. And I don't, there was, I just need, Kenny, I said, turn it around. And she turned, but she gave me a look of like, you need to look in the mirror. Well, but I know I'm not by myself.
Maybe we really do need to go to this island because I heard there's no Wi-Fi, no, there's no roaming,
and
we just need to get off the grid.
I camp deer hunt. I would have a good time.
But that's the thing. You tell me all these stories about how you go and you hunt for elk and you shoot squirrels and rabbits and you're just off the grid for days.
Things, yeah.
You and Norm.
Well, we're older now, E.
Well,
Norm's retired. I'm retired basically, but.
You're
man,
not retired.
The social media addiction is real. And I'm worried about this next generation, E, because it ain't going nowhere. It's just getting worse.
Yeah, it is only going to get worse, especially when they have those, like the what's it called? You can go into some sort of verse.
What are you saying?
No, you can put glasses on and they're like video games
yes.
where you can go into, what's it called?
Like the metaverse?
No, the reality, virtual reality.
Virtual reality.
VR.
Yeah.
Rutherford's got it.
What?
Yeah, he watched a lot of stuff on it, but yeah, it's just like,
no,
man.
In 15 years, kids will not be playing with each other in real life.
That's terrible.
This is what I believe wholly. They'll be on their VR machines.
Evan, stop.
They'll be in these alternate places like, hey, you want to go get ice cream today? Yeah, sure. Okay, let's actually jump into a video game and go to a make-believe ice cream place to talk.
I am AI.
But you won't actually be next to each other.
Yeah, that's wow. And this guy, you jive, he fell for the Steiny jive. He's saying a guy like Steiny ignores social media. Goo has a social media obsession. Steiny's on IG, so that counts the bucket. You might not be on Twitter, but you're on Instagram, you're on social media. I'm sorry.
No, I got to tell you, what does piss me off about some old people, and I do very much respect my elders, but the idea that they're not on social media just, when they are is
Norm,
a lie.
Stop.
You're on Facebook, you scroll on Instagram, if you're watching your clips or your reels.
Just own it.
It's okay.
Yes.
You're more like us than you realize.
That's all.
And I think that's the part that bugs older people.
I know I have a problem.
Like,
I'm trying to fix it.
It's okay to be young.
Wow.
Or to cling to youth. That's why I asked Willard about that the other day. I bet he'll say the same thing. Hey, do you cling to youth? No, please, no.
That's a flip for your Willard.
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
We got to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot. That's a great Willard.
You cling to youth? Yeah, absolutely do.
Oh,
just
man.
Don't realize you do it. You've all been conditioned.
Yeah, but I feel better now. I got that out, man. But it's powerful just vessel.
Like, I'll be conditioned in 20 years. We'll be right there together. Yep. All right. The Valkyries, they're back in action tonight, taking on the Suns. The Sun. In Connecticut at 4 o'clock. Listen to it right here on 95.7 The Game. And on the free Odyssey app, just search Valkyries for all the action. All brought to you by Unstoppables. Unstoppables. The official laundry fragrance partner of the WNBA. Unstoppables brings the freshness. Feel confident. Stay in the moment. You hear that, Goo? Stay in the moment.
There it is.
Get off of social media and smell Unstoppable. So try Unstoppable's laundry scent boosters for as low as $5. Crossover coming up next. That segment was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.